Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast preview series of the Mountain Division teams. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Matt Kennerly. No baseball tonight for you, correct?
Sadly, no.
Sadly, no. The Fresno Grizzlies, I want to say.
Yes, they are.
Ooh, the minor league affiliate to my favorite Houston Astros. Is that okay with you that they changed? Is that all right?
No, that's correct. I'm assuming by the time this podcast comes out, I will be missing Alex Bregman. So you'll be able to enjoy him on MLB TV and stuff like that pretty soon, I think.
Excellent. All right, we'll see. So this is not baseball or minor league baseball. This is MWCConnection.com. We will preview Utah State tonight. Mountain West Connection is our Facebook page, MWC Connection Twitter, all that great stuff. And also, we got a kind of a new podcast thing going a little bit. We're still on SoundCloud, so don't, if you like that the best, perfectly fine. Go with that. Your RSS feed may have been inundated. They're doing some tweaks to it, so I apologize if that happened. This could be months ago by the time this airs, correct? So this might not be an issue. But for those who are listening to this now, if you notice any changes, we're now using Blog Talk Radio more often because, hey, they got their act together and made an embeddable player that's actually usable.
To everybody's relief.
Yes. And if you hear a little 30-second ad maybe two or three times, it's relax. It's okay. It's fine. Don't be too upset about it and move along. So there we go. That's our little announcement today. And we are extremely close to football starting. I believe we are. Fall camp probably will be around. So cross our fingers that nothing really changes from mid-July until first week of August when this comes out, maybe. If it is, happy fall camp day. But Utah State Aggie, so you want to get us going here, Matt? Any opening thoughts for the Aggie program?
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them at least a little bit of benefit of the doubt after so much turnover, especially in the coaching ranks the last couple of years. Isn't this like the third year in a row that they've lost both their coordinators to Power 5 programs?
Almost. I know a handful of guys went to Oregon State with Gary Anderson. And I want to say, I should have looked this up before because I'm blanking exactly as I did. I did a for the guys at Conquest Chronicles a while back, I helped them preview Utah State USC. And I mentioned coordinators. I believe it's Kevin Clune. He went to University of Houston, I believe. But a lot of the guys. Is that correct, do you think?
According to Bill C's preview, it looks like Clune went to Oregon State.
Okay, there's somebody who went to University of Houston a year or two ago. But regardless, they've been losing coordinators left and right because, well, first off, Gary Anderson was all these guys' coaches at Utah State before. And who would turn down to go to Oregon State's not that good right now. It's still a bump in pay, a little more prestige if you can win there. You'll get just climb the ladder. And so it's hard to blame them. But the one odd, I think you'll agree with me on this. The odd choice was not odd choice, but Josh Heupel was let go by Oklahoma a couple years ago. Utah State snagged him. Like, oh, that's pretty cool. Won the Heisman. He went to, I think, Weber State or a junior college in the area before transferring to Oklahoma. Doesn't do anything special, but then gets nabbed by Missouri. We're like, okay, sure.
Hey, you know what? You know, up-and-coming offensive coordinators are hard to come by.
But was he really up-and-coming with Utah State, though?
Well, I think, given the personnel that they had last year, I think that, especially with the quarterback shuffle that they had to go through with Chucky Keaton and Kent Myers, I think once Myers was able to settle himself into the starting quarterback position, the offense kind of took a little bit of a step forward. And if we're transitioning to offensive personnel,
a little bit.
Now he doesn't have to worry about Chucky Keaton, over his shoulder anymore. The job is basically his. And, if you're going to start anywhere with Utah State, it's the fact that they might have the second best quarterback in the conference. And, because last year he had 16 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions. We knocked Maxwell Smith here and there about, being a caretaker for the football, but Myers was a lot the same. He averaged 8 yards an attempt. He completed 60% of his passes. And so, now that he's the unquestioned starter, what I'd like to see is, you know, does he have that step forward in him? What do you think?
I agree with because I remember last year during the BYU game, their bowl game, for some reason they went like series for series.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him. I know he's here's the thing. While he hasn't started a ton of games, he has a lot of experience. Because remember the first year when his first year, you had Keaton go down, Daryl Garrettson, Craig Harrison, four string QB, rattled off what, 4 or 5 wins. Is it gets very bad opponents, like when San Jose State was really bad, New Mexico, UNLV, Wyoming, he ended up winning all these games without any trouble. And then he played then last year, or 2 years ago, I should say. He's a junior this year. Sorry. So last year, like you said, he went back and forth. He was a starter after Keaton went down again. So he has experience, but not a lot of starting experience. So he, not that he's a new guy, but he's going to finally have consistent playing time. And I want to see him go down the field more, because his first year we brought up the play calling because he had Hunter Sharp on the team a couple years ago, even last year. He was a deep threat. He kind of like disappeared when Myers was QB because he wouldn't throw downfield because they don't want to open up the playbook. That's what I think they want to do. Are they going to give him everything, which I think they should? I think he's proven enough to be given the keys to run whatever play is in the playbook. It's there, and I think he'll be fine. I don't think there's too many issues, but the second best QB, maybe. I like Kenny Potter. He's pretty good, but and I don't know about Colorado State. Nick Stevens, is it going to be him or Fountain? As we got criticized for not getting names right, Georgia transferred to Colorado State. I'll just stick with that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm just blanking on his name, but a Fountain.
Aiden Bauta.
Yeah, that's it. Bauta, yeah. But like, I don't know about him, but top third, because you can't compare comparing the Air Force quarterback to anybody else is kind of not fair because they're so different. And so,
yeah.
And Christian Chapman, too early to tell because he's only played, what, 2 games, but top third, and he has the running ability. But I want to see him just with him having the offense and not worrying about it being pulled or. Even if you know a rotation's coming, like with the bowl game and the BYU game late last year when Keaton was healthy, you can't get in a rhythm if you're going every 5 plays or every 8 plays, because they basically went almost series for series, maybe quarter for quarter. But even if you know you're going to get pulled at some point, not because you're not playing well, it's hard to get into some rhythm, because if your drive's 3 and out and then say your backup or your co-starter Keaton goes a 10-play drive, your rhythm really gets screwed up. And I think that goes a long way, I believe. If you're the guy and going at it, you're no worried about it. Because if we go to Fresno State, like your team, I think the guys may have had a kind of back of their head, oh, if I throw an interception, if I incomplete pass, I may get pulled. This probably will boost his confidence quite a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the best thing you could say for his situation is the fact that, you know, if you go back and look at how their spring game played out, he didn't really see a lot of actions. It was the guys behind him competing to be the backup who saw the majority of the snaps. You know, Damian Hobbs for one, Jordan Love apparently got some action as well. And I mean, that's another thing with Utah State, especially, you know, for whatever reason, a lot of it driven by injuries, that backup quarterback position could be, you know, more critical for the Aggies than it might be for some other teams. You know, it isn't as though Myers hasn't been hurt in the past. But the nice thing about a guy like Hobbs is it seems like he's a durable guy. He's, you know, played, you know, sparingly in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a guy who could probably step in and be just fine. You know, he was a former 3-star recruit. You know, he's got some pedigree. And
Oregon for a – wasn't he the guy that went to Oregon for a year?
Yeah, he was.
He first committed to the Aggies, went to Oregon, then came back.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, you know, if Myers is dinged up and misses a game or two, you know, maybe they scale back the offense a little bit with Hobbs, but I can't see there being that much difference between them.
I agree. And there's people who, kind of a minority, thinking he should be starting over Kent Myers, which I don't think that's the case. But if he's that close, that's good to have. Like, they've always had, like, Utah State's had an embarrassment of riches at quarterback the past couple of years. That's why Daryl Garrettson transferred to Oregon State. Part of it is who we knew there, but there's so many. With Keaton coming back, he knew he wouldn't get a fair shake to start.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing you could say about both of those guys is that their weapons as runners too. You know, Hobbs only had 19 carries last year, but he averaged almost 6 yards a carry. Kent Myers ran for 191 yards against Colorado State last year, and he averaged well over 6 yards a carry. So it's not as though they can't make plays moving out of the pocket. And if you're looking for, you know, the opportunity for receivers to get open down the field, Myers is a guy who can make that happen. And I think that that's something that could be really useful for this team.
Well, that's for sure. Like these guys, like even Keaton there, we'll reference him, I'll show, because he's a big deal this history of the Aggies. But these guys aren't guys who are looking to, okay, my first guy's not open or second guy's not open and I'm taking off. These are guys that are going to move the pocket to find somebody open and then take off. And so they're athletic enough to move the pockets and like just about 6 yards per carry. Them able to do that is a dynamic where they're odds of, if you give me odds of Myers is going to have an 80-yard game rushing, I would probably say no, but he may have 45 yards a game, almost something like that. Well, that's too much still, but he may have a game of 30 or 40 yards, but he's not going to run unless he has to run. He's going to sidestep the pocket, do those type of things, and then if he needs to take off for 8 yards, he'll do it maybe, what, once or twice a game. And that's a big deal in the offense because Garrettson was not a sitting duck, but he's just a drop-back guy. And having that dynamic, it makes a big difference if the defensive ends, linebackers, can't just have a beeline to get you. They don't. It's not Peyton Manning or like Tom Brady back there where you just sit not – just sitting there and not going to run. This guy will roll out, bootlaid. Gives you so many more options. Zone read if they want to mix in that a little bit with him being a little more athletic. Those are type of things. But his throwing, if I recall when he first started, I kind of said he's probably has the potential to be a little bit better than Chucky Keaton because he could throw a little bit better, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned Hunter Sharp a little bit ago. And if we could segue to the receivers, that's kind of my biggest question with this particular offense. That's the thing that I'm most interested in seeing, you know, as the season gets underway, is how does this wide receiver situation shake out? You know, if you go back through last year's numbers, you know, Hunter Sharp was, you know, he was tied for fourth in the Mountain West with, you know, 33 catches rather of 10 yards or more. And nobody else on this Aggies team coming back had more than 13. So how do you replace that? How do you replace that kind of production? Like, who's going to be the guy that steps up? Is it going to be a guy like Wyatt Houston who takes another step forward from the tight end position? Is it going to be someone like Andrew Rodriguez who, you know, we know is a special teams weapon at the very least? You know, can he step up and make that big leap in production? Or is it going to be someone else further down the depth chart?
I think Rodriguez will be kind of a breakout guy for as receiver core for within the conference. He catches nearly everything that comes his way. Yeah, he's not huge at 5'10", but he's a guy that catches it all. And his yards per target are actually the same as Hunter Sharp. And so that's a positive as well. I think he'll be the guy. They'll need a couple guys like you said, tight end there, White Houston should. I don't know if he'll lead the team in receiving, but the thing is, Hunter Sharp, they need a lot of people. 71 catches last year. White Houston, 25 in his 25 was what, third on the team?
Fourth, yes, it was.
Technically fourth. Two were tied. Rodriguez and LaJuan Hunt had 27.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's not going to be one guy. Like, I don't see Andrew Rodriguez going from 27 to 80 catches. That still doesn't even equal Sharp's output for the difference. He may get 50. He may have White Houston with 40 catches. You could have Tyler Fox come in there and get 30 catches or something. That is a big deal because Myers, the good thing with Myers, he's an experienced quarterback for the amount of time he's played. He's basically played one full season starting for a third of his freshman year and most of last year. If he can find a rhythm with these guys, he's got to find the guy who's going to, maybe one of these guys just needs playing time because look at like Braylon Roberts, 3-star guy, as is Rodriguez. Maybe he'll make the step up and both those guys will combine for 90 receptions. Yeah, I think that's a possibility. 45 each. That's not out of the, that's not crazy. 30 more each, about 20 more each.
Yeah. I was trying to find the last time Utah State had a 1,000-yard receiver because Sharp had about 800 and some odd yards last year. But even the year before that, he didn't crack 1,000 yards. And, you know, trying to go back the last several years. And so it's been a while since they've had kind of a premier guy.
Well, they've been defense. That's why they haven't needed one.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, this could be one of those guys. But I think they have options, a lot of options that they like. Not only the guys that you mentioned, but other guys like Braylon Roberts, who I believe had a 60% catch rate last year, or 68% rather. So that's something you can build upon. It's just a matter of, you know, seeing how that shakes out in the fall and then getting those guys into action.
Yeah, they see the experience. Like, there's guys who played a lot, but they'll just see who steps up from camp and all that type, those type of things. It's replacing Sharp. It's a big deal. He got picked up by the Eagles, so it's not an easy guy to replace.
Yeah.
Where I think this will be helpful is their running back situations, where this is, it's been, they've had a little bit of a lull because they've had I forget who they all have, but I know Robert Smith is in the NFL. They have quite a few running backs, like backups, get drafted in the NFL.
Yeah, you're talking about Robert Turbin and Kerwin Williams and all that.
Sorry, yeah, Kerwin Williams, Robert Turbin. I probably mix up Bobby Wagner or some other. He's the linebacker, but yeah, Turbin and those guys. Like, backups are getting drafted, and past couple years it's been pretty slim. But I think this is the year. Like, we all thought it could be Lawan Hunt. Yep. He'll be a good complement to this team, and running the ball as the backup. But I think Devontae Mays is going to be the guy who's going to be. There's so many good backs. Like, he had, this is a pretty solid year for any, almost any starter. 966 yards and 9 touchdowns. That's pretty good, and nearly 6 yards an attempt. But in the Mountain West, that's like spit on you, because there's so many good running backs in this conference. Brian Hill, Jeremy McNichols, you had Tyler Irvin last year, Donnell Pumphrey. There's so many good backs. Him nearly getting 1,000 yards is like, so what? You didn't get 1,000 yards, you're not very good. But that's not the case.
It's just that
the talent is there. There's so much.
I mean, what I was going to point out was that, you know, for as good as he looked at stretches, you know, throughout last year, you have to point out that, you know, in November, especially against some of the, you know, a couple of tougher run defenses, he didn't play particularly well. You know, he only averaged, you know, 3.3 yards a carry against Air Force in 12 carries. You know, he lit up Nevada, which is probably to be expected.
And this year,
but, you know, he kind of struggled in against BYU before he really rebounded in a big way against Akron. So there's a little bit of boom and bust in his game, I think. And that would be something to watch, because I would think you'd want at least a little more consistency. You know, if he's a guy who can average 5 yards a carry, 5.5 yards per carry, that's great. I think that's exactly what Utah State needs. But I suppose I'm at least a little bit skeptical as to whether he's going to be able to do it week in and week out.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, well, here's two things to look at as well. Well, I guess one thing, really. He didn't really get consistent carries as the guy until about midway through the year. Because Southern Utah 4 carries, Utah 6 carries, Washington 6 carries. It wasn't until San Diego State where he had 15-plus for the rest of the regular season. Akron had 12. So if you go from there, you still have your same hit or miss. Because look at New Mexico. That was the weirdest game ever. They lost 13-14, 17 carries for 29 yards, under 2 yards an attempt, or rush, I should say. But if you look at when he started getting 15-plus carries, sorry, I guess Air Force 12 as well, he wasn't great, but he still, you could see him a little bit better. I guess, I wouldn't say he's a volume guy where he, or I guess I would say yes, he would be a volume guy, because when he got over 15 or more carries, look at what he did. BYU was an exception. Their defense is good, but at San Diego State, he ran 15 times, and also they lose 48-14 last year. Mm-hmm. 15 attempts, 88 rushes, or rushing yards, almost 6 yards a carry. That could have been against backups. I don't remember the exact game, but Aztecs are deep on defense, and I'm assuming most of that running came early with how bad that game came out to be. 22 carries, 176 versus Wyoming. Yeah, Wyoming's bad, but 22 carries. 22 versus Nevada. 12, that's hard to say. I kind of see a pattern there, but not enough to say. I think I'm confident saying if he gets 15 or more carries, he'll be about an average or so back in the Mountain West. Within the Mountain West, which is still pretty good. Is that fair to say, you think?
That kind of, you know, increase in workload sounds, it's reminiscent to me of what Martiz Waller went through. But I think, like you said, those games, you know, especially against Boise and San Diego State, who, by the way, were the two best run defenses in the conference last year, and that game against Air Force, who was third, are really instructive. Like, are you, which guy are you going to see more often? That's the kind of question that I have about that running game, and about Mays in particular.
But I think the yards per carry against at least Boise and San Diego State were quite well, above 5.5. He just didn't have the opportunity because of how the games turned out.
So if Mays isn't a volume back, like if he's not the kind of guy that they give like 25 carries to on a given week, like how much of a workload do you think that leaves for Lawan Hunt and the guys behind him, like Justin Hervey or Tommy Lindsey?
So you're saying if Mays is not getting 15 plus a game?
Yeah, like if they keep holding him to maybe, you know, 18, 20 yards game.
I think Hunt should be near double digits.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's, you know, I think it's likely that this offense is going to strive to be as balanced as possible, because I think, you know, with the questions that they have at receiver plus the depth that they have at running back, that's probably the best case scenario.
Yeah. I think he might have a breakout year, but I think he'll get 1,000 yards. But I think if you combine Hunt and Mays, they should, what do you think, 1,500 yards is a good number for them?
Oh, yeah.
Between the two, because they got 13 last year, maybe 1,700. That might be a little bit high, but I think that's where they can be. And, like, they don't turn the ball over all that much. Myers could do a little bit better job. He had 3 turnovers, lost fumbles. But I think running game will be their strength, because if Myers runs a little bit as well, that if they do some read option, that could help out as well, where, like, okay, we know both guys can run, so they can't just focus on one guy. So I think they'll be okay. But let me mention this to you. Have you looked at the last year's total rushing yards per individual player in the conference?
I had that tab up, and I think I closed it.
Okay. How many players rushed for 1,000 yards last year? Like, overall, how many did you think did in the conference?
Okay, so I just pulled it back up.
Don't look at it yet.
Oh, okay, well...
Before looking at it, come on.
Like eight or nine, let's say that.
Yeah, it was 9. And did you know, who would have more rushing yards, would you think? Jarrell Presley or Devontae Mays?
Well, considering I'm looking at the tab right now, I'm going to spoil it and say it was Devontae Mays.
It was, which I was surprised to see just now, for how much we talked up Presley in the last show. But there's just so... I should probably check right now, but that seems That just seems like a lot for one conference to have basically the entire starter from each team have 1,000 yards.
Could also be an indictment of the conference's defensive line.
The defense.
But, you know, speaking to that, the other nice thing you could say about this offense is that they have a lot of veteran presence on their line their offensive line. You know, they've got Austin Stevens in the middle as center, who I believe has made the Remington Trophy watch list 2 years in a row now.
If you're a center and you're starting,
they've got a pretty nice little list. Are they calling Utah State Center U yet?
Because they got Weston Richburg, I believe, with the Dolphins right now.
No, that was Colorado State. Nope. But they did have Tyler Larson.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, Tyler Larson. Excuse me. Yeah, he's with the Dolphins.
I mean. They're losing a couple of guys to graduation. They lost Tyshawn Mosley to, you know, violations of team rules, that mysterious thing. But Stevens is back. Jake Simonich is getting a lot of preseason shine from publications and stuff like that. You know, they could move Austin Albrecht from left tackle inside to replace Mosley.
Probably.
And give guys behind them the opportunity to really step into that rotation, like Jerome Ioane or Brandon Taukilaho.
I think the problem here is, if you look at the depth, we're using Bill C's previews here for career starts. There are 0 career starts from if you didn't start last year. They bring back 3 starters, but nobody else is. I don't know how much playing time or minutes breakdown, which I'm assuming they got some playing time, but the depth is telling here. And if there's any injuries, it could fall apart really fast for this offense.
Yeah, possibly.
And that's that. There's not much more to say. The depth is the key here. And when they play teams early on, like they got USC early on, Arkansas State, Air Force, they open at Weber State, which is nice, but that's week two will be pretty difficult if that offensive line is that green.
Yeah, their non-conference schedule, especially, they're going to have their work cut out for them.
Because Arkansas State made a bowl game, correct?
Yes, they did. They beat Ohio, I believe, in the Camellia Bowl.
Camellia Bowl. We'll get to that later. Let's get to defense really quick. Aggies are known for everything on defense, being even when they had Brent Guy there, who was a terrible head coach, their defense was still competitive. Like I said, Bobby Wagner is part of that team. He's with the, I think he's still with the Seahawks. He's still in the NFL. Yeah, because he's pissed of where the top 100 list put him or something like that. So he's doing quite well in the NFL. But I know I mentioned this probably every show that we've talked about Utah State at all, and probably any interview I go on. But the biggest thing is they lost their entire starting linebacker group to the NFL.
Yeah, that was going to be one of those things that I pointed out if you didn't. Like, I had to go back and look up this article from February that Bill C. put out about trying to use his advanced metrics to measure how much experience is returning. And on defense, I think there's maybe a half dozen teams in the FBS who are returning less experience on defense than the Aggies are. They only have three of last year's starters back. They get, you know, Ricky Alafua right there at defensive end, who had himself a pretty nice 2015. You know, they do get Travis Seafelt back, who missed all of last year, but he had himself a very productive 2014, and it'll be nice to have him in the middle replacing David Moala. And then you get a couple of guys, you know, back in the secondary in Devin Centers and Jalen Davis. But beyond that, question mark?
Yeah, question mark. I think linebacker will be okay. Any team that loses a group like this is going to – this doesn't happen to very many teams. They're going to struggle to replace that much talent. I think Ohio State lost a similar amount of guys at one position. I think defensive line, I want to say. Mm-hmm. You're not going to replace – it's going to be some talk early on, like, oh, who's going to replace Kyle Fackrell? Who's going to replace this guy, Torrey Green or whatever? But they had enough depth where they played so many linebackers last year. And so I think it's just finding out who's the next guy up, essentially. You talk about center you, this should be freaking linebacker you for the past 2 years, who they've lost, and even before. They – just need, like, maybe it's Chasen Anderson. I don't know. He probably seems likely to be the guy, but they've had, well, maybe I'm looking at this wrong. I'm sorry. Maybe they don't have the depth I thought. I apologize. My screen did not show gray to black very well. They have three guys who played last year quite a bit. So those three guys will be starting. Alex Herrera and Brock Cameron, as well as Anderson. Those guys will move up to start. They played a good amount last year. But I trust the recruiting that some of these guys are Matt Wells' guys. Sorry. A few were Gary Anderson, a couple upperclassmen. So, like, Anthony Williams didn't play very much or at all. Like, Osuki, they're all upperclassmen. They may not be this amazing talent, but if you're around a program long enough, you may sometimes, it's been so deep, these guys are probably just blocked from being able to play or start. When you had Zach Vigil there last year, like said, Fackrell, Nick Vigil. If these guys just haven't had the chance to play. Now, are they great talent? Probably not amazing, but if you're stuck behind those guys, how much time are you really going to get? So that's, if you want to look positive, I kind of think that's where you might see, okay, these guys just haven't had the chance to really play because of who is in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, you could give them the benefit of the doubt based on their track record. It's just, man, that's asking a lot. Like, you know, like you said, the guys that are coming in are guys who are familiar with the system that they run. I believe the only guy who may be able to sneak into the starting lineup who's not an upperclassman is outside linebacker Derek Larson, because, you know, Seafelt's a senior. You know, Brock Carmen, who might be right there in the middle of that defense, he's a senior. Huerta is a junior. Daniel Gray out there at cornerback is a senior, but I don't know, man. It's asking a lot to say all those guys will be as good as the guys that they're replacing.
Well, I don't think that's the case, but also, if you look who they signed, if Matt Wells really had a concern, they would bring in, like, they didn't bring in any junior college guys at all. And so maybe he's seen who they have on this team. Like, well, we don't need anybody. We're good. We're Utah State. We always have good defenses. We recruit well. And if that's a pretty big plus or confidence boost to people previewing the team, guys on the team, coaching staff, that, no, we didn't need to bring in junior college guys. You guys are with this team. You're going to be good enough to play. You're going to be good enough. You are good enough to play. And we didn't need to bring in a two-year player to come in to step in front of you because we don't have confidence or believe that you're going to be as good as we hope you are and keep the tradition of this Utah State defense being as it is. Because this linebacker group, it's similar. Boise State's offense is always going to be considered really good. Air Force's running game. San Diego State defense. There's always certain position groups on any team in the country. You're going to say, prove me wrong before I'm going to say something negative about you being not good at one position group. Like, I'm always going to say that, like, we got some crap for some reason on the Aztec show. We're stretching, to be clear, but they lose, what, one or two starters? I'm like, this is our area where they might take a step back, but historically they should be fine. Boise QB is one of those positions as well. And so, like, even San Jose State secondary, they have guys in NFL like B'nai Benwickery with the Carolina Panthers. They've always had a good secondary. I'm going to trust that before I'm going to go against them performing well at this position. And that's where I'm coming out with the Utah State defense and even the linebacker spot.
The other thing you could say, if you do decide to go all the way back to the spring game, is that apparently the defense played very well in the spring game. You know, obviously Myers didn't get a lot of action, like we mentioned before, but, you know, they forced 11 three and outs. They had 15 tackles for loss from 9 different players. So maybe they will be fine. You know, the guys that they do have coming back in the secondary, Devin Centers and Jalen Davis, each had an interception. And both of those guys are pretty good. You know, Davis out there, cornerback, is obviously their number one guy. He's going to be tangling with, you know, guys like Spurback and Malhart in division play and things like that. And then Centers kind of manning center field in this defense. Is he the best safety in the conference? Maybe.
Good chance.
I mean, him or Steelhammer, at least.
Yeah. Is DeMonte Casey, is he a safety or is he a cornerback?
He's a cornerback.
Okay, I know he's a DB. And then you got, like, Don Levitt comes from BYU, is finally eligible. They bring in junior college guys, at least one they brought in, and who's Antonio Cole. So I think out of all the position groups, I guess defensively, this is the one where there's the least worry.
Yeah.
Because 2 years ago they lost, B.J. Larson and another player in the NFL 2 years ago. So they've had to replace quite a bit of talent. And that was a concern last year. They lose two guys in the secondary to the NFL. How are they going to cope? They did okay. But now Centers, they have the talent there. Again, Centers is there. I think Levitt will be pretty good. And then a lot of these guys played last year. Like you said, Daniel Gray, Jens Painter, Aaron Wade, they've all played in double-digit games. So their depth, I have zero concern for the second. Well, you should never say zero concern, but this is probably going to be their best unit defensively.
I'd agree with that.
And then really quick, special teams. Aaron Dalton back there punting the ball. He's pretty good. They bring back all their special teams. Like, the kicking. Kicking's always a big deal. They bring back both kickers. They missed, what, three PATs. What's impressive, they were 5 of 7 from 40-plus between Brock Warren and Jake Thompson. So field goals. Their special teams is really good for them, at least kicking-wise. Returning, I don't know, Kenny D. Williams, he's pretty good. Hunter Sharp had a few kicks, but he's not around anymore. But like you said, mentioned earlier, Andrew Rodriguez, if he's still returning, that's a pretty big plus, and he could be one of the better returners in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy who, you know, if punt returns, they're a big deal in this conference. If you can take one back to the house or just even get a big return to kind of tilt the field in your favor. And Rodriguez, you know, he's been getting a lot of recognition from like Phil Steele and Athlon and all of them about being that kind of all conference performer. So, you know, even if I have questions about how he'll do as a receiver, as a returner, I think he can make a real difference for this team.
I think a punt return, you get about 10 yards of return. That's pretty good, and a touchdown last year. This is an area, too, where it could help. Like, say the defense isn't that great. Well, not the defense, but like if there's issues in linebacker, the special teams can make a big difference. Whether as the, I guess with the kicking, like for the offense, like if Dalton can pin them deep, stuff like that could be a big plus to help out the defense if they can get them back that far. And
yeah,
just flip the field essentially, whether it helps offense or defense. But I think with Dalton, he's only sophomore this year, and last year he did pretty well. And that's an area where if you have, like, look at University of Utah, they have a great defense and a good punter last year. That's a big deal. If you have a good punter and you have a bad defense, that could still help that defense get confidence if you can pin them back deep and just change the field. So, I don't know. Is that no special team stock?
I think so.
All right. On to the schedules in just a second here. All right. Schedule time. Utah, as we mentioned, Utah State has USC on the schedule. But they open That'll up with Weber fun. State, which one thing that I love about Utah State now, we're not going to have the construction camp for this opener. Do you remember that from last year?
I do not.
Because there's like not every game is streamed. Most of them were. When you do the, like, I think the Campus Insiders or Mountain West Network broadcast, it's your own equipment essentially. Mm-hmm. And it was Southern Utah last year. The people wanted to see Chucky Keaton because he was back. They stuck the radio broadcast behind it, but took, I think there's a demand or something. I forget how it happened, but they had the construction camp because they're redoing Maverick Stadium. And so they just did.
Oh, yes.
And it was so far away, you couldn't move the camera. I tried to watch. I'm like, oh, this is awful. But they finally upgraded, got their equipment. It is streaming on Mountain West Network, but I just remember, like, oh, geez, how is this going to work? This is, it was terrible. But now we have actual commentators and an actual moving camera, a Zoom, an instant replay probably here or there. But they'll beat Weber State. That's safe to say, correct?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so USC. This is not the same USC a couple years ago when this game was on ABC. It's Pac-12 Network. USC should... There's no... USC will win this game. I don't think that's the issue. They have Clay Helton, the new head coach, who somehow... Well, I guess kind of new, but... Overall, if Utah State couldn't beat them with Chucky Keaton, who they had before, they're not going to beat them now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the Trojans have quite that elite talent that they did the last time these two teams played on defense. I mean, I remember Chucky Keaton running from his life from, I believe it was Leonard Williams, you know, all over the field. I don't know if they have quite that guy up front, but they do have, you know, a guy like Adoree Jackson who could make a difference in the secondary back there. And that was a lot of the trouble in this last matchup, was they weren't able to really throw the ball against this Trojans defense. And with the questions I have about the receiver core, I think, you know, Myers, you know, I expect it to look a lot like the last matchup, if I'm being honest. I expect the defense to really be able to kind of hold USC in check more often than not, because it's not as though the Trojans won't be dealing with their own kind of quarterback issue, you know, trying to figure out who to replace Cody Kessler with at quarterback. But, you know, I just don't know if they have enough firepower to really be able to pull it out.
I don't think they will either. I just remember really quick on that last game is the near the end of the game, they're driving and it was the center who's with the Dolphins now. And they called illegal man downfield. And it was the worst penalty ever, because I joked around before, he could do like the little kids do the helicopter move where they swing their arms around. He could have done that, not still coming within a yard of a USC defender. And they called illegal man downfield. I just remember that. Like, oh, that was just awful what happened. But talent-wise, USC is going to have more talent every year. I don't expect Utah State to win, but with what we discussed earlier, linebacker's gone, front four on the defensive line not there, replacing receivers. If this was, say, week 10, somehow if they magically played in November or something or Halloween, I might give Utah State a decent shot, but there's just a talent discrepancy is too big for me to say Utah State could even win. And I don't think it'll be as close as you're thinking either. I think it'll be USC will probably win quite comfortably.
Well, and that was going to be my question. The you know, Bill C has this projected margin of 20 points. Are they going to be within that margin or outside of it?
They'll be close. I think they. I think I'm thinking like a 17 point difference is where I'd be leaning. So I'd go on Bill C. Basically, take the under from what Bill C. and his numbers are saying.
That's kind of two what to I was three touchdowns. As well.
Like it might be, it could be one of those games where they get out to a 14-0 lead, 10-0 lead, and then Utah State goes field goal for touchdown or something like that, where they're scoring here or there, but USC is just getting touchdowns to Utah State's field goals more often than not. But and plus expected wins, like it's not expected to win. It's if it happens, great, but don't wager on the game for Utah State. I'm guessing to win outright.
No, probably not.
All right, then they come back home. Arkansas State, Friday night, Red Wolves. What do you know about the Red Wolves that you can enlighten us with?
Well, I know that they are reloading at a lot of critical positions, especially on offense. You know, Freddie Knighton was a kind of a good but not great quarterback for the Red Wolves. But I don't know if they have any idea of who's going to be replacing him just yet. They have a, you know, a couple of guys who are in the running. But they also lose, you know, two guys who, you know, one who ran over 1,000 yards, another one who pitched in. Actually, no, I'm looking at that. Freddie Knighton ran for over 500 yards. So they're losing a 1,000-yard rusher. They are losing their top two receivers from a year ago as far as catches. And, you know, they've got a lot of experience coming back on the offense. And they have a pretty good defense, a lot of veterans returning. And that's where I think that, again, I think, you know, if you have a pretty good defense, you could probably slow this Utah State offense. Do I think that the Aggies will win this game? I do, but I don't think it'll, I don't think ASU will make it easy.
I can see there. Here's an interesting thing, too. Like, they play Auburn on the road the week before Saturday, so they have one day less rest. Both games are travel games. And I should have had this up before, but didn't they play last year in Arkansas State won in overtime?
I believe they did. Yes. Hold on, let me.
And also, I'm trying to wonder who the head coaches because they've had what Hugh Freeze, Brian Harsin as their head coach.
It's still Blake Anderson.
Blake Anderson. And this team is not like they're not a bad team. Like they've won conference titles. Like Brian Harsin won a conference title there. Hugh Freeze won a conference title. It was Hugh Freeze, right? Am I correct on that?
I believe you are.
They won like I think they. I should look it up, but I think they've won five conference titles with five different coaches or something absurd like that.
Yeah.
So like, it's not a bad team. Like last year was probably what did they do last year. They swept the Sun Belt last year. Yeah, they went undefeated in the Sun Belt last year, and so it's just not a bad team. And the Sun Belt, if you think about it, is probably getting better than Conference USA in some aspects. So. Going undefeated in the league playing Sun Belt, yeah, it may not sound great, but they played Missouri close last year, 27-7 or 27-20 loss. They did lose their bowl game to La Tech, 47-28, but also that's in New Orleans. So and they put up points like they're scoring 48 points, 59 points, 52 points. This team could score a lot of points last year. And so with this young Utah State defense, that could be somewhat of a concern. Yeah, talent-wise, Utah State should have more talent than probably 70% of the positions here. But if it's a new defense, new coordinators, and Arkansas State has a seasoned coach, this game might be a bit more interesting than people think it should be, or at least on first glance.
Like I said, you know, not that I'm a Sun Belt expert or anything like that, but I think that the Red Wolves probably have a defense that'll keep them in a lot of games this year. Yeah.
But I still say Utah State will win. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say it's. Yeah. Yeah. I just think this could be more interesting than people give credit for on first glance.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that, actually.
Good on Friday night. So hopefully you have CBS Sports Network, folks, because that's where the game's at. All right, so then they start conference play. This next stretch, oh, geez. Air Force, at Boise, at Colorado State. Are they going to lose all three of those games?
I have them losing all three of those games.
Oh, you do? Even at home to Air Force?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I mean, you know, I think you and I just kind of diverge on how good we think this defense is going to be. Not that I think that the defense is going to be bad by any stretch. That's not what I'm saying at all. But they were one of the best in the conference last year. And if they slip from very good to good, is the offense going to be able to make up that difference? And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to against the defenses that they'll be facing, especially, you know, especially that Air Force defense. You know, if you're talking about a team that has a lot of pieces coming back, you know, you're talking about another secondary who could make life miserable for Kent Myers, possibly, you know, not only with, you know, Steelhammer back there, but Roland Ladipo at corner. And even Boise State has guys like Dante Dion who are still in the mix, you know? It's going to be rough, I think.
I'm looking at kind of like the overall rankings. Like, if you ever go to a great website I use is preseason.stacian.com, and I'm like, where do they project these teams? Because everybody's different. Utah State's the third consensus team behind Utah State. However, there are three across the board, but two of them, like Lindy and Sporting News, put them at fifth. TSN, Sporting News. And so that's and behind Air Force. So I think Air Force should probably a loss or probably a loss. I just think that early on, I think Jacoby Owens and whoever's running the ball is going to have probably a pretty good game and better than you would expect for Utah State defense. Even at home.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't. Conversely, though, like this is just my prediction now before the start of fall.
No,
I should also say
your exact prediction. You cannot change.
I should also say, though, even if it sounds like a cop out, that I wouldn't be surprised if they went 2-1, or excuse me, 2-1 or 3-0 in this stretch either.
At Boise?
They did it last year.
True. At home, though. And what, +8 or something like that?
They've struggled with Boise in the past, but I mean, it's not like I think Utah State's a bad team. I think they're going to make all the three of these games very competitive. I just don't have a great feeling about the offense's ability to step forward.
I think they'll beat Colorado State. I think that's a win that they should probably have. But I'm going one win on this during this stretch. I think it's just CSU. And even then, I wouldn't be surprised if that was lost. But I see them going 1-2, losing to Air Force and Boise. And these are the three best conference teams they'll face all year, and they're all in a row. They get a bye week, but they'll probably at that point 2 or 3 wins, I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll get to that game against Fresno State. I have them at 3-3 at that point, which, considering the quality of opponents, you know, this isn't like, you know, New Mexico had a very soft non-conference schedule, I think. You know, Utah State is definitely going to be battling a few heavyweights, you know, through October.
Yeah, even the second half, like, I think they should beat Fresno. I think Fresno's still not there yet. But then you got San Diego State. It's in Logan. I wish I could go to that game, but it's a Friday night and I'm not going to make it. But they got San Diego State at Wyoming. That's not going to be easy because Brian Hill, they should win that, but the schedule just, there's no breaks on the schedule. You know what I mean? It's like every other week at minimum is a difficult game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I have them beating Fresno. I have them losing to San Diego State. I feel a little better about them against Wyoming than I guess
you do. I just think Brian Hill is an X factor that could make it a little bit interesting, but they should win that as well.
Yeah.
New Mexico, they're good enough. Like, their easiest stretch is at Wyoming, hosting New Mexico, and at Nevada. Those are two of the three toughest places to play in the conference, Reno and Laramie. And then New Mexico is, if their offense keeps going, it's no guarantee they'll win. But that's not an easy stretch, partly because of the road games. Even though they should win, I think, 2, maybe 3 of those games.
Yeah, I mean, that last stretch in November, I actually have them winning all three of those games.
You mean four in November? Or the conference games?
Or I think I'd already mentioned that I thought that would be Wyoming. Okay, I wasn't sure.
You have them beating BYU, you think?
I do.
Why is that?
I mean, it's hard to explain. Like, I know that they're still kind of working out the quarterback situation, but, you know, are they really going to let Taysom Hill play a legitimate role in this offense this year? Because I don't understand why you would do that when Tanner Mangum was one of the best freshman quarterback in the country last year.
I thought on BYU, because for those who don't know, my job during the day is covering BYU more closely than I probably would want to. So I even said last year, like when he was down versus Nebraska and out for the year, and then Mangum started doing well, I'm like, just let him go. If he wants to come back, honestly, tell him thanks, but no thanks. Be a student coach or something. I agree. I with the new coaching staff there, it's up in the air of what they're going to do, but I'm with you. It should be Tanner Mangum the whole way. And we'll just see it happen. This is the last game of the season, so there will be something established by then. But think about BYU. True. They receiving core, terrible. Their best guy, returning guy, is like a broken foot or some. He showed up at media day in a wrapped foot, and people are like, what's going on? What is this? It's the same foot he broke last year or the year before. They expecting to have this JUCO guy come in. He'll probably be pretty good. But when's the last time a JUCO receiver has been a breakout star, even on somebody's own team, essentially, to be your number one guy right away? You're not banking on these freshmen. They have a good running back. You have Jamal Williams back there. He's similar to Jay Ajayi, kind of how his power is from a couple years ago. But the way these two teams have played, I can't argue too much against Utah State not winning this game. Last year, switching QBs was a mistake for Utah State against BYU and even the bowl game. If they stick with a guy, this should be a competitive game. I don't think Utah State will win. I think BYU's defense is really good. They have enough of the ground attack. And if their quarterbacks are good as we both know they are, whoever it is, I think they'll be fine. But also, not to make this too much about BYU, we've talked about them enough because they play, well, we'll talk about for Boise State. They play a couple of teams in the league. Their schedule is extremely tough. They're playing like Michigan State, UCLA, University of Utah, Boise, all these teams, and they might be beat up week 12. And it's like, oh, Utah State will just win because they're exhausted and got bruises everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'll defer to your good judgment about BYU since you're a lot more familiar with them.
Well, you're not far off either. I just, like, the quarterback, it's a mess. Just because, not that it's a mess and it's a bad way, but it's more of like, oh, we got two good guys, but we've already discussed enough. But we, at this point, we'll preview this game down the road, but I just don't. It's just it's hard for me from last year to say, oh, they're going to BYU should win easily or Utah State should win easily. It's outside of last year, it's been pretty close. Like there was that, 7-3 game a couple years ago that was just terrible to watch. There's been some good games in this series. So it's a rival. Even though BYU fans don't want to hear it, this is a rivalry game and Utah State probably cares more about it. But the reason I'd probably go with you on this is because BYU doesn't have depth, and with their schedule, they're playing. Like, I think they play UMass before or whatever, but they play a lot of good teams, and they might just have injuries. And it's hard to predict now in the offseason, but I would lean BYU winning. But Utah State, I like Matt Wells. He does a good job. And maybe? Is that good enough for you?
So what do you think is going to happen with the Aggies this year? What do you got the record
on? Oh, record. I think they'll go to a bowl game. I think a bowl game is almost assured by them. Like if we break up the first half of the schedule, I have them probably going 3 wins. What's that? 3-3 then? Yeah, mm-hmm. 3-3 in the first half. I have them beating Fresno 4, Wyoming 5. I have them going 7-5. I think 7-5 is a good expectation for them.
Yeah, I have them at 6-6. So they'll definitely be going bowling, but it may not be quite the breakthrough year that some people may expect.
I think the breakthrough year
that they'll But I think that they'll set themselves up pretty nicely to make a run next year.
I think that's the case as well. But go back on that. Who's saying they're having a breakthrough year or something?
Well, you know, every fan base has got their lunatic friend. I'm sure somebody out there feels it.
Okay, I didn't know if there was something more legitimate than they're gonna some not a corner of a fan base that's always probably, which like I said, everyone has overly optimistic. But I think the year after they could be really good. You got Myers back. You have all these guys back in 2017. But they'll go a bowl game. But they probably could finish fourth in the division as well. Because Air Force, CSU, out of that stretch, I think they're going to beat CSU. That's the team I think they'll beat. But they could finish fourth in that division. But bowl win. So what would you be, not a bowl win, but a bowl appearance, what would you say, like, if they exceed your expectations, where would you place them at?
Okay. So if everything breaks right, I still think that they have trouble winning at Boise, maybe at a minimum, and probably at USC. But I think if the offense exceeds my expectations and the defense is basically as good as it's ever been, they probably beat Air Force in that case. They probably go to Colorado State and beat them too, and then, you know, I think they could beat San Diego State if that's the case. I mean, like I said, I feel like that game, if both of those defenses are on point, could be like, you know, if you're a fan of defense, that's like the rock fight you're waiting all year for. Because, you know,
last year's game, Aggies just fell apart. We're dominated by San Diego State. It wasn't even close. Yeah. I would say,
but I mean,
so what are you going? 9 wins? 10 wins? What would you say if like they exceed everything?
I guess it would be 10 wins because I would have them still with losses at USC and at Boise, I think.
I'm close with you. I think I'd go 9 because I'm still with the BYU game. I got to go 9 max because I don't know, almost for, no matter what, I don't see them beating USC or Boise. And I don't believe in beating San Diego State. I think they can beat BYU over those teams, but I think those three are the teams I don't see them unless something weird or crazy or they just blow up and some guy comes out of nowhere. Kent Myers matures so much or linebackers or next coming of their last four from last year. I don't see them beating USC, Boise, or San Diego State at all. But still, if they can get to 9 wins,
I also think
it's pretty good.
If they get to 9 wins, Matt Wells probably isn't the head coach at Utah State this time next year.
Keep that a secret.
Because, like, honestly, if they get to 9 wins or 10 wins, that would be his best coaching performance.
Oh, for yet, sure.
Which is really saying something.
Last year was kind of down, but they still were in most games. They just had that weird game versus New Mexico. And then they just injured some injury stuff at the quarterback situation, just switching around because Keaton was never truly healthy when he was in there. And Kent Myers got banged up a little bit. I think Utah State's at the point now where 7 wins is probably their baseline for any given year. Now, this is not the team that was going 1-10 or 1-12, 0-0 and having to play at Texas, at Oklahoma, and at Auburn to fund their program. They're well beyond that, and I think 9 wins is my height, but probably, what I say, 7-5, I think 7-5 is more realistic. In 2017, they might have a chance to challenge for the conference, and it'll be Boise State again, at least the division, because Boise returns most of their guys back again, quarterback-wise at least. But 2016, if they get 8 wins in 2016, 2017 hype could be off the chart.
Could be.
Any last bits to add toward the Aggies are hopefully informative and good preview?
I mean, not that I could think of. I think, you know, obviously this division is still stacked. But it's going to be a lot of fun watching them basically beat people up and make everybody else in the division earn whatever they get.
So let me ask you this then. If Matt Wells is going, I know this is extremely, extremely, extremely early, where would he go if he gets them to like 9 or 10 wins?
Oh man, that's really putting me on the spot. Gosh, I'm trying to think of teams that would haven't already hired.
Remember,
someone.
He's a Utah State alumnus as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't
think
of anything.
Would he take the Houston job if Tom Herman is not there for some reason?
Well, considering they're paying out like $3 million bucks a year,
they're not
going to
pay Matt Wells out though.
Hey, you never know.
I would lean toward that not happening. I don't know. Out west, is there most, because the Pac-12 coaches, most of them are. Yeah, Kyle Whittingham has been at Utah forever. He's not going anywhere. Most of the other coaches are reasonably new, because you got Sonny Dykes at Cal, a couple years in, Chris Peterson, a couple years in, Mike Leach, a couple years in, Clay Helton, pretty new, not going anywhere, Jim Moritz, NFL, but he's still, a couple years in, Rich Rod, reasonably new, you know what I mean? Like, no.
Well, okay, so here's a couple places then. You know, Mike McIntyre is probably looking at a win now.
That's one spot.
At Colorado.
Want to go to Colorado?
That would probably be one. I would also say Sonny Dykes.
Think so? Already?
At Cal. I mean, there's been a lot of consternation on both sides, I guess. At least that's what I remember reading about. So maybe that's a possibility. Those are about the only two I can think of.
Okay, I haven't seen that, but Colorado for sure. But I think they might be an uptick a little bit. Outside of that, I don't know. Unless he goes to like a New Year's Six bowl game, there's not going to be that much, too many bigger jobs coming from him. We don't need to go through the Big 12 or ACC or anything like that. But I think that's our show for tonight. So bowling for Aggies. So, and this is an improvement from last year. So it's kind of weird to say they lose their best position group to the NFL and they still get better overall. That's kind of weird to say, I think. They'll be fine. Okay. Is that Utah State slogan? They'll be fine.
Until 2017, then they'll be really interesting.
It's good to know. So, future 2017 division champs declared by Matt Kennerly, Utah State Aggies.
Oh.
No, I'll step back. No, that's not it. So, that's our show for tonight. So, Aggies going bowling. Again, their slogan that you coined now, they'll be fine. MWCConnection.com. That's our website. Again, we're on Blog Talk Radio, finally back there. Hopefully, they treat us well again. SoundCloud, Stitcher, where are we at? Google Play. Are you an Apple guy? Do you have iTunes?
No, I'm an Android guy. I use Pocket Casts.
That's right. We discussed this before. Same. So do I. The 1.2 speed is my lane. That's where I go for most podcasts. What's your speed? Do you fast forward? What do you do on that? I know this is so weird and nerdy, probably.
No, I'm boring and I just go normal.
I go to 1.2 because I listen to a radio show every day that's 4 hours normally. And so I need to crank through that a little bit. So that's why I go 1.2 speed. 1.3, I'm like, nope, that's too much. But if you want to listen to us at 1.2, good luck, because I know I talk a little bit fast. So if you can handle that, good for you. But check us out. Leave us a review. Season's almost here. I know the top 50 countdown will be going at some point. I know that's been delayed on my end. I apologize, but that's going strong at this point. I guarantee it. But we got a couple previews left. We'll have Wyoming. We'll have Boise State. Then we'll have our giant preview. And hopefully we need to get an update from Chris because he's in Europe at the moment, gallivanting. We need to see if we got that Chris Alt interview. Think that's going to happen?
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll see if we get the Chris Alt interview, but we'll see what's going on there. But again, MWCConnection.com. Check us out. And yeah, we'll see you guys for our next show. Adios.